KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly sunny and 16 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy to cloudy with a chance of scattered flurries this afternoon, a high of 29. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In regional news, officials have reached an informal agreement to sell portions of a northeast Nebraska ranch that's been used for years by Nebraska and Iowa Boy Scouts. John McAllister of the Boy Scouts Mid-America Council in Omaha says the agreement includes about 360 acres of the Thomas Ashford Scout Ranch. The ranch covers a total of about 600 acres, a few miles west of the Missouri River in rural Homer, Nebraska. The buyer would use the 360 acres for hunting. McAllister wouldn't discuss the price or identify the buyer. He said the rest of the land, including the main campground, also may be sold, but a final decision hasn't been made. And he says the ranch isn't used enough to justify paying for the repairs it needs. News time is 8:01.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
A Sioux City man accused of shooting and killing his two dogs has pleaded not guilty to two weapons charges. John Holloway won't be prosecuted on animal abuse charges. Sioux City Police Lieutenant Mark Kirkpatrick says it's technically not illegal to shoot your own pets. Holloway is charged with reckless use of a firearm and discharging a gun within city limits. Authorities say the 51-year-old shot his two dogs Tuesday with a rifle in his backyard. Police say Holloway had been arguing with his sister about the dogs being aggressive. His trial is set for April 24th. U.S. Cellular, in conjunction with its partner, King Street Wireless, has announced that additional parts of Iowa will receive high-speed 4G LTE service by the end of 2013. Some of the cities included in the 4G LTE edition include Atlantic, Carroll, and Creston. The company said that more Iowans will enjoy access to 4G LTE cell speeds that are up to 10 times faster than 3G and similar to a cable internet connection. 4G LTE provides enhanced wireless experience with fast web browsing, smooth video and streaming, video chatting with no buffering, and some speedy app downloads. U.S. Cellular says it currently offers that 10 4G LTE devices that include smartphones. And by the end of 2013, U.S. Cellular says its customers in more than 3,800 cities and towns will have access to 4G LTE speeds. Currently, 61% of U.S. cellular customers have access to those speeds, and 87% are expected to be covered by the end of the year. The National Federation of the Blind, or NFBI, in Iowa has issued a position statement saying the organization is not in favor of the proposal by the Board of Regents to combine the services given to blind and deaf students. The Board of Regents voted on February 6th to give preliminary approval to the recommendation of a study committee to create five regional centers to serve both blind and deaf students. NFBI President Michael Barber said advocates for the blind have several issues with the proposal.
First concern, of course, is whenever programs for the blind, no matter what they are, for adults or for children, get merged with anything else, it's been our experience that programs for the blind take a back seat to the other programs, and that's just been a long-standing experience.
The regional proposal would keep the School for the Deaf in Council Bluffs and School for the Blind in Vinton as two of the regional centers while adding three new centers. Barbara said NFBI is concerned that Patrick Clancy, who oversaw the School for the Blind, was also named superintendent of the School for the Deaf and merger of the services proceeded.
I guess we're just concerned about the way all this was done. We just kind of thought the Board of Regents already had made up their mind that it was going to be merged, and that was the way it's going to be, and that's the way it looked to us.
Barbara acknowledges the NFBI had a representative on the committee during the five-month process that led to selecting recommendation for the regional service concept. Barbara said the group did not get on the agenda for the February 6th Regent meeting and then were denied an opportunity to speak before the board voted to move ahead with a pilot for the proposal.
Keep in mind that this is an open meeting. It's a public meeting. And yet we consumers were not allowed to make public comment. We take umbrage at that. We're not happy with that. We think that's very questionable practice. And we are definitely going to be looking into this because we do not think that consumers should be treated this way by a public body.
And he says the NFBI would like to see the issue go in a whole new direction.
We want the education of blind students to be taken away from the Board of Regents and given to the Department of Education. We feel that they are the ones who really would be better suited for this. The Board of Regents, they do a great job with higher education. They are not expert in programs for the blind or for the deaf, for that matter.
Barber says his organization will pursue the plan to move the oversight of blind students.
We've already talked to the governor and told him what our intentions are. And, I'm not saying that we have his full support right now, because I can't say that. But he knows that we're dissatisfied, and he knows what our plans are. I have talked to the governor about this.
The region's directed Superintendent Clancy to proceed with the setting up a pilot program to test the regional concept for service to blind and deaf students and gave him a deadline of no later than September. The committee reports the regional plan would eventually save money in providing services for the blind and deaf students in the state. Now, the Board of Regents Executive Director Robert Donnelly issued this statement in reply to the NFBI's concerns. It said, quote, "The Board of Regents appreciated the thoughtful comments made by Michael Barber on behalf of the Iowa chapter of the National Federation for the Blind. The board approved the recommendations of the region's feasibility study and planning committee, which represented all key stakeholders from the deaf and hard of hearing and vision impaired and blind communities. The committee gathered information for public hearings throughout the state as well as respected national experts. The board unanimously approved the recommendations from the study and is very proud of the advances we have made in the services that benefit these two communities under the leadership of Superintendent Patrick Clancy," unquote. And as from the Board of Regents Executive Director Robert Donnelly. Elsewhere in the news, Senate Democrats have revised their property tax credit proposal, yet another twist in a more than two-year-long State House debate over the proper way to reduce commercial property taxes. Senate Democratic Leader Mike Gronstall of Council Bluffs says their plan was changed to respond to criticism from Republican Governor Terry Branstad and House Republicans.
They said ours was too small. We've increased ours by 25%. They said ours didn't cover land and buildings, it just covered buildings. We said, okay, we'll throw land in. So we're trying to be responsive to them. There's some signs that the House is trying to be responsive to us.
Republicans have been pressing for a reduction in commercial property tax rates, arguing its permanent tax relief and a state tax credit could be revoked. House Speaker Craig Paulson from Hiawatha, the top-ranking Republican in the legislature, didn't immediately reject the Democrats' revised plan, however.
If they are digging in and saying it's only their way or they're not doing anything, then that's not helpful. If it is them putting forth a proposal to move the debate and the discussion forward, then it's moving the debate and the discussion forward, and I look forward to reading it and appreciate them putting that on the table.
And at the end of 5 years, the owners of commercial property in Iowa would be getting $250 million worth of state tax credits under the Democrats' plan. Democrats seek to target the credit so it would apply only to the first $324,000 of a property's value. In other words, a small business in a $100,000 building would get a bigger proportion of the benefit compared to the owner of a $10 million commercial property. Although the owner of that pricier property would also get the break on the first $324,000 of that property's value. And home sales continue to rise across Iowa. Don Marple is president of the Iowa Association of Realtors, which has released a new report on home sales in January.
We had a 14.7% increase compared to January of last year. And we're showing an increase around the state with 28 of our 44 local realtor boards showing an increase in regards to their sales activity.
A total of 1,898 homes were sold in Iowa last month compared to 1,655 homes sold in January of 2012. Home sales in Iowa increased 18 in the last of the 19 months, and Marple credits the slowly improving economy and low interest rates. The average home sold in Iowa last month was on the market 102 days, and that was down from 114 days last year. Statewide inventory of homes on the market has dropped 19% over the past year, according to Marpol. And taking a look at world headlines, an estimated 10-ton meteor has made a 33,000-mile-an-hour pass over a city in Russia's Ural Mountains, setting off blasts that shattered windows and resulted in some 700 injury reports. Hundreds of buildings were damaged, and residents described scenes of panic. Scientists say the space rock broke apart somewhere between 18 and 32 miles up in the atmosphere. Scientists say a 150-foot asteroid hurtling toward a close pass with Earth today had nothing to do with the meteor that injured hundreds in Russia today. The asteroid is expected to make it the closest known flyby for a rock of its size, missing Earth by just 17,150 miles. It'll be too small for the naked eye to view. President Obama is wrapping up his post-State of the Union tour today by discussing proposals to raise the federal minimum wage and to link businesses with recession-battered communities to help them rebuild and provide job training. Obama will be in his hometown of Chicago talking about how government can build ladders of opportunity into the middle class. KJAN News Time is 8:11.
Noise is one of the most common causes of hearing loss and one of the most common occupational illnesses in the United States. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. It only takes a single gunshot to permanently damage your hearing. It's just that quick. Repeated workplace exposure to loud equipment can also impair your hearing. My challenge to you is to protect your hearing with these simple tips. At home, turn down the volume of the television, radio, stereo, and iPods. When using loud equipment at home, such as lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and string trimmers, wear hearing protection. And at work, use hearing protection even for brief noise exposure, such as impact wrenches or nail guns. Foam plugs, ear muffs, or better yet, custom molded hearing protection from ASI can all be effective. Because good hearing is so critical, make sure that your family and friends are aware of the hazards of noise exposure. Protect the hearing that you have now. Call ASI today, and together we will determine the best way to protect your hearing. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Leonard Mike, age 56, of Audubon, died Monday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Leonard Mike will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Bernice Sweeney, age 92, of Harlan, died February 8th. Funeral services for Bernice Sweeney will be this morning at 11 o'clock at Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Elaine Kenty, age 94, of Greenfield, died Tuesday in Fontenelle. Funeral services for Elaine Kenty will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Sheila Hopp, age 68, of Harlan, died Monday. Funeral services for Sheila Hopp will be held on Saturday at 11 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Council Bluffs. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Catherine Johnson, age 72, of Fontenelle, died December 19th. Memorial services for Catherine Johnson will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Greenfield. A luncheon will follow at the church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Timothy Glenn, age 30, of Winterset, died Monday. Memorial services for Timothy Glenn will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Redfield American Legion Hall. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. Joyce McConnelly, age 86, of Atlantic, died Monday at the Heritage House. Graveside services for Joyce McConnelly will be held 11:30 a.m. this coming Monday at the Atlantic Cemetery. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Michael P. Dennis, age 65, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Services for Michael Dennis will be held on Monday at 2:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Sean Lee Gustin, age 42, of Cumming, died Wednesday. Services for Sean Gustin will be held a week from this Monday, that's February 25th, at 10 a.m. at the Lutheran Hope of Church in West Des Moines. Hamilton's Funeral Home in Des Moines has the arrangements. And Floyd Spry, age 74, of Anita, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Floyd Spry are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.